What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to your favorite show without an intro. I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam. We're back with another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. We're going into week number three. Coming off week two, not as many marquee matchups, but I'd say it was a pretty solid week. My brain was mush by Sunday night.
The games that we hoped were good weren't good, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, there were some sleeper games. Pitt-Cincinnati was, like, just off of, like, plot and how the game ended, how it started.
That was a good game. Arkansas was a good game.
The problem was it was going on at the same time as Pitt-Cincinnati, and I had them on opposite TVs, so it was like,
yeah.
But it wasn't bad. I'm just trying to think. Oh, all right. Let's just start off with a quick little preview. So we're gonna bring you guys a preview. Recap
then preview.
My brain's still recovering from sitting in front of the TV for 24 hours straight.
72, or yeah, basically because Friday and then.
I mean, Friday, I wasn't a warrior, and I wimped out, and I fell asleep. I mean, when you watch Northwestern versus Duke, and you lay down, there's a good chance that you ain't waking back up.
I told you not to bet on that game. You're going to regret it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's tough. Like, I can hear the cadence as clear as day watching the game. It's actually pretty cool. Like,
yeah, they're like, playing in front of, like, 2,000 fans.
Yeah, it was good to see that night atmosphere down there on Lake Michigan and Illinois. Let's get a little recap. Friday night we had Northwestern versus Duke, overtime game.
Technically, like everything you thought that game would be, it was.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, can't really speak on it. I fell asleep. Manny Diaz, first big road win, I guess, if you want to phrase it like that. You had the battle. You had the
first
battles
big
of the.
Win. We'll say big, nice win.
You had the battle nice battles of the academias, front and center Friday night. What else? What was there another game Friday night? SMU, BYU. I want to take this moment. And I want to take back every single nice thing I've ever said about SMU in the past 3 weeks. All right, now let's have a moment of silence for SMU and the ACC. All right, now we can resume. I mean, they're dead in the ACC. I mean, I take back everything I said about them being able, like, as my like little like night runners in the ACC this year. They ain't gonna be running shit. The only thing they should be running is the fucking stairs at the stadium. Like, I mean.
Dude, I told you we should start fading them after that week one game.
I know, and it was 11.5. It was 11.5 this week, last week. But I'm going to have to look at who they got this week because that is not. This SMU team from last year to this year, it's like night and day.
Yeah, I know, and they haven't even played, like, any teams in the ACC, really.
I know. They've played
Nevada
and then BYU. And BYU was picked last to finish in the Big 12.
Yeah.
BYU's not a solid, like, Big 12 squad. You're at home. I mean, your kicker had more yards than your offense.
Yeah, that's – they're in for some rough sledding, man.
I know. It's just like, I just feel like such a numbnut, man.
Who do they have this week? Are they off?
I hope they're not off because I'm going to add them to my card real quick.
Oh, no, they're off. I figured they would be off since they
played. Oh, dude, they're off for like 11 days, bro. Their next game's September 21st.
Yeah, it's just because they played that first week. So they already have three games.
And guess who they have? TCU at home. Woo! Give me TCU. Mark it. I don't care what the line is.
Good either, though.
That's the kicker. Two bad football teams. It's the 21st. What day is that? All right, yeah. It's a Saturday.
Yeah, that's Saturday. It's like
5 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm interested to see what that line is. I mean, SMU can't be favored again.
No, not a chance.
There's not a chance. Little rivalry game there though. Dallas, and then Fort Worth. You know,
are they? Is TCU in Fort Worth?
I could be totally wrong.
I don't know.
Is it? Hang on. It's DFW, Dallas Fort Worth. Hold. I always know that.
I mean, Baylor's in Waco.
Yeah.
Texas is in Austin.
They're in. I'll tell you in a second.
But if they lose,
yeah,
this
they're in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, if TCU loses this week to UCF, though, it might just be a pick 'em, dude.
So TCU has UCF this week.
Yeah, it's like a 7:30 game. That'll actually be a good fun
game. That's a fun game to – I'm glad you brought that up. TCU, yeah. I like that. I actually really like that. I might add that to my card.
I was thinking about taking UCF, but
– How's UCF? I haven't seen UCF this year. How are they looking?
They didn't look so great. KJ Jefferson didn't look so great the first week, but, you know, first year in a new offense, he played fine last week.
57-3, 45-14. Oh, man, Colorado's got to make the trek all the way to Central Florida in a couple weeks.
Colorado also plays Colorado State this week.
Yes, I'm actually very glad you brought that up. I came very unprepared because we got to talk a little Colorado action as well. What time's that game at? 7:30?
Yeah,
7:30. 7:30. Oh, Colorado, why couldn't you not seem somewhat decent so I could get a better line?
Yeah, I know. 7.5 is almost criminal.
But, dude, Colorado State's had this game circled, just like every other opponent's had it circled to get their lick back. Nebraska got their lick back last week, playing perfect timing in the locker room.
Yeah.
Perfect timing. But it's like, yeah, all right, let's get into it. We're off topic here a little bit. Let's
We'll start at noon, then just work our way down.
Well, we got our recap first. We haven't recapped shit.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Texas at Michigan. I thought this was the easiest game of the week to pick. I saw it from a mile away. I mean, I did. There was no doubt in my mind that's what was going to happen. You can't watch Michigan against Fresno State and think that the team next week is just going to show up and be.
Michigan won the second half.
All right, and they won the first 2 seconds of the game whenever they fucking kicked off. But,
Michigan, they're probably like an 8-1 team now. I don't see how they beat Oregon, Ohio State, or USC.
They have some tough sledding ahead.
But, like, the schedule just did not work out for the way they play this year. Like the last few years, they usually kind of start off rough to begin.
Yeah, like last year.
How many cupcakes, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, they want to talk shit about Ohio State's, like, cupcake of the schedule in the first couple of weeks. But, like, Michigan last year had a pretty cupcake also, so.
Yeah, with UNLV, then, like, 2 MAC schools.
Yeah, it's just sometimes how the cookie crumbles, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, now with the big conferences, you really don't need to schedule those big ones early.
I know. Ohio State does have a home-and-home with Texas coming up.
I mean, it's...
So we'll see.
If you do win that game, though, you set yourself up for like almost being in right away.
Yeah, and like it's you don't have to worry about losing the game any.
As long as you do good in conference play, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah, like if you lose, it's not like your season's over. Like in the past, like it's like shit. Like this might be wraps for me.
But like now, Notre Dame, like that loss is killer. Just because
I still
have no conference.
I still think if they win out, I don't think that they leave out 11-1.
Notre Dame. Yeah.
I think we're gonna see some 10-2. I think I think 10-2 is the cutoff. But depending how the rest of the season, like you might see a 9-3 squeeze.
Yeah, but
in
like
there.
Okay. Texas, okay. Let's go to Texas real quick. Say they lose Georgia. I mean this schedule's kinda like, they could lose the last game at Texas A&M. Say they drop two, like, I don't know where you would seed them. Because their only big win would be Oklahoma. Because, like, if Michigan is an 8-win team, who's their big wins? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, like, 11-1 Texas is still probably in the conference championship. 10-2,
like, they dropped two.
Oh, dropped two?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, you know, you probably seed them at, like, 7. 12? No. 12 is going to be the group of 5 champion.
I thought they get... Oh, yeah, I guess they...
And the group of 5 champions going to be lower ranked, unless they go, like, 12-0. The group of 5 champions is going to be the lowest ranked.
You're
going
to be, like, pulling hairs once you get down to it, because if teams don't have good... Like, if Notre Dame goes 11-1, who's their big win?
Yeah, but you know 11-1, ND ain't getting left out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a school.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Texas looked real good. Quinn looked really good. He's probably my front runner for Heisman right now.
I mean, I was just more surprised by their defense. I mean, Michigan's offense is terrible, but I thought they could run the ball.
Dude, well, I mean, I don't want to throw stones at a glass house, but I'm going to throw stones at a glass house. New running backs coach, Tony Alford, who came over from Ohio State. You know. And, yeah, just running back plays dropped. And don't want to blame the running backs coach, but.
I mean. I guess they got down too early where they couldn't even run the ball anymore, so.
Dude, Donovan Edwards, though, how many carries he got this season?
He had 8 carries this week for 41 yards, 5 yards a carry.
And what, he had 11 last week or 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like. For 25.
But they only ran it 22 times, and 6 was the other running back. Like,
yeah, but the run game's not there at all.
No. I mean,
and the pass, very tough line. And the thing is, the receiver game isn't there also, so it's like...
But it really wasn't like... Roman Wilson was good, but it's not like they had some, like, X-factors at receiver.
It's just because that's how, like, they really want to be. They want to be
run. Yeah, that's how they structure their roster.
Yeah, and it's that roster construction is really coming back and biting them. Shout out Kadula, roster construction is very key. just the way that they construct their roster is just coming back to bite them. And fucking Loveland or whatever the hell his name is, he has
Lovelace.
Is it Lovelace or Loveland?
Loveland. It's Loveland.
Yeah. Yeah,
you said Lovelace the other day. Confused the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I know. There's another player, Lovelace, I think. But Loveland, I mean, he just... I mean, that fumble was killer, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a forced fumble. The motherfucker took 2 steps and just dropped the ball. It's...
They're on fire down there, man. I mean, Harbaugh... I'd blame Harbaugh if I was a Michigan fan, like... Just like you guys high and dry.
Well, yeah, but you know that hammer was coming down.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to be there to take it? Jerome Moore. He's going to be the one that's going to have to take it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a scapegoat.
Yeah.
So what would you say about Texas now? You have them in your top 4?
Yeah. I have 3 teams that I think are above everyone else right now.
And they're one of them?
Yeah. I got Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. And then I think it's everyone else.
Just because, like, Texas, it happens every year. Like, even last year, they had that big win early, and everybody was – but you knew they weren't, like, legit contenders, I'd say.
Yeah, they could be pretenders. I mean, we'll see whenever they play Georgia because, like, I
was – their schedule was so much harder than what it was. Now, looking at it, like, they play Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia – Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Georgia's their big game, and that's at home.
Like, I said they could drop 3, but I was counting them losing to Michigan and not getting in. But the most they could lose, I think, is 2.
Yeah. I mean, they – even with their – like, they're not deep at running back, but, like, they're still
– Yeah, I mean, it's Texas. You have talent.
Yeah. I mean, they look solid, but it's hard. I'm not going to, like, be all in on Texas just because they beat this Michigan team. Because I wasn't high on this Michigan team at all.
I was to begin, but last week was like the week. Well, Fresno State, I was like, oh my god. Yeah. But I thought they would just slow the game down, and you know what I mean, keep it close and ugly.
Yeah, but like their
defense got shredded. I did not expect that.
Defense got shredded. Their offense, like, I mean, it's all brand new guys on their front.
Yeah.
I mean, they really like. And then yeah, it didn't really reload.
No.
And they don't use the portal.
Yeah, they didn't use the portal at all. Yeah, I mean, they could have tried and get one of those quarterbacks.
Yeah, like I don't know where they went with the court. Like, they had to know that Orgy couldn't fucking pass the ball, like, when yeah, he's been on the roster.
Like, I mean, they played him last year, so they knew what he was about.
Yeah, like, you would have thought that they would have went out and, like, got something.
Yeah, at least tried to get something.
Yeah. So I think this could get ugly for Michigan.
Yeah, because like even like Michigan State, I think with the way they're playing right now, is a team that could beat them.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me about the Michigan State game for Michigan State is they turn over the ball way too much.
Yeah, and if you turn over the ball versus Michigan, you're gonna pay. Because I still do that defense is still good. Texas yeah. might just be that good on offense.
Yeah, and Sark knew where to attack them.
Yeah.
So, Pitt at Cincy. Pitt picks up a come-behind victory. Biggest comeback in Pitt football history since 1972, I think.
Oh, as soon as that game started, I was like, oh, same old Pitt.
Yep, I was like, yep, and this is exactly how I said the game could go. I didn't expect it to be a carbon copy of how I thought it was going to go. I thought, because, well, when they started, dude, Pitt moved the ball right down the field and then fucking just threw a bad pick, and then that defense could not stop Cincy early on. I mean, I think they were saying last year that running back had a career high against Pitt. He rushed for like one something, and then this year he broke his career high from his career high versus Pitt. So which that worries me going into the Pitt-WVU game, just because WVU's running backs with White and Donaldson.
I mean, and Green.
Yeah, and Green being able
that's all they're gonna try and do.
Yeah, so that's kind of worrisome. But
the offense will be able to score versus that. I expect a shootout.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that. I just wanted to gloss over that game, and I was proud. I was like, are they gonna pull Holstein for Yardnell? But they stuck with Holstein. He lit it up in like the end of the third into the fourth. I think he went. I don't know. I think he had like 180 yards in that, and like with like one incompletion. Desmond Reed a little banged up.
Explosives, man. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean the problem is even before the like in the pre-week, Narduzzi said that since he plays like a weird defense, which like gives it's basically they drop everyone.
Yeah.
So like it's like Holstein was just trying to force stuff instead of giving what the defense was giving them. And you can't really force.
What do you think about that 2-point?
I mean, I didn't agree with it at first, but they ended up winning the game, so it's whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was open, but I still don't think, because whenever you go for it, like you lose kind of momentum if you don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all analytics, and supposedly the analytics back that decision, so.
Yeah. Penn State.
So, hold on. South Carolina at Kentucky. South Carolina dominated the line of scrimmage on defense. I mean, Vandergriff did not look very good for Kentucky. Kentucky really had nothing on offense against the South Carolina defense, which is like Georgia's coming to town. Georgia's coming to town this week. It's like, holy shit, what the hell is Georgia about to do to this Kentucky team? Like, honestly. But, yeah, it's... Game days in South Carolina. Don't be surprised if the Cocks are back. I've been high on them. Well,
yeah, this could be the year.
I shit on them in the preview, but everyone knows that I'm high on them.
Well, you shit on them after week one, that Old Dominion game too.
Oh my god, I totally forgot that they were in a rock. Well. It was rainy. That's a pass. You know, they just They just beat down on Kentucky, and they got LSU coming to town. And I'm riding University of South Carolina.
I can't remember what I have on there.
MSU at Maryland. I thought Maryland was going to beat the brakes off MSU, but MSU preserved and they won the game somehow. I don't know how.
Their defense is pretty solid. I mean, they gave up a lot of yards and stuff, but like it's a lot better than last year, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, Childs is having a lot of
groan pains.
Yeah.
I mean, you expected that though. Is he a redshirt freshman now?
Yeah. So. That was a good game. Iowa State at Iowa. I don't really want to talk about this game. This game was so tough to watch because Iowa was really dominating the first half. Up 13-3 or something like that.
And then 13-0, yeah, at half.
Then it just.
I think it was. Was it 19-7-2 at a point?
Yeah, dude. I thought it was a lock, and then Iowa State just saw something on the iPads. They saw something on the iPads, and then they just went to it, and they were moving the ball at will against Iowa, and then Iowa didn't really respond.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I thought this was the easiest play of the day too.
Yeah, I guess when you're betting on Iowa football, nothing comes easy.
Yeah.
Big win for Matt Campbell though and the squad down there in Ames. We'll see if this is a good stepping stone for them in the Big 12 and see how they take things.
Yeah, because they were pretty hyped up coming into this year. I mean, they had basically everybody back.
Mm-hmm. Kansas -5.5 at Illinois. I mean, you called it from a mile away. I turned that shit off. I knew it was wraps. I think Jalen Daniels threw a pick six like right before half.
He had three picks that game.
Yeah, I know. One on like the first possession.
Yeah.
One right before half. And then I think it just – I don't know if it's Illinois' defense or if this is just a new Kansas.
New Kansas offense without Coach K?
Yeah. So – I am going against Kansas this week, and they're probably going to put up 60 points on my UNLV Red Rebels. So,
I mean, it could be just some rustiness from Jalen Daniels, too. I mean, he didn't play basically all last year.
Yeah.
His first real game back.
Yeah, we'll see. Colorado at Nebraska. I thought this was also one of the easier plays of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
From the get-go, the game was over.
After Will Compton's introduction on the big screen, you knew that was over.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I just don't know with this Colorado team. I don't know if they're trying to win fucking football games. I truly don't know.
They're just trying to put up the highlights.
Yeah, I don't know if it's literally just like, let's get shit over as many stats as possible. Let's I don't know what it is. They abandon the run game almost immediately always. They air out the ball and their route concepts aren't like get the ball out fast. They're like long.
Yeah, he wants to throw it on the field.
Yeah, they're like long route concepts, and then you're getting sacked like 8 times.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's just Dion as a coach.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if he's a good coach.
I mean, he's probably. I mean, I would say he's not right now. I mean, we haven't seen him win anything. So
I know Colorado went from being a 3-9 team to being a 3-9 team just with national attention.
Yeah.
Like the Colorado hasn't taken any steps forward besides just getting more money into the program. That's all.
Yeah, and having, like
this is what I call
first round prospects.
Well, two. Yeah, what happens when they leave?
Dion's gonna leave. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him staying at all. I honestly, I don't think he's like, he says these things. He says like he's a leader of men. and like he's like developing these guys in it, but like I haven't seen any developments on like football field.
Yeah, yeah. It's been. I mean, they haven't got any better from last year.
It's literally the same team out on the field.
Yeah.
With just like, all right, they revamped their offensive line a little bit. You know, they got Jordan Seaton, a 5-star, then, you know, some transfers in. But Shador's already bashing them in the media.
Yeah, it's like, I know.
It doesn't matter how bad your offensive line is, don't bash them. Because yeah, those are the guys protecting you.
They're not going to want to block for you.
It's like you're like that's like 101. Like, let me just shit on my offensive line. Oh, wait, they got to go out and block the team next week, too.
I mean, Deion backed him up. Did you see that?
Yeah, Deion. He did in a way. He's like, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. Like, those are my guys, but we got to be better. Like, or, you know, he like phrased it that way. Yeah. At least he didn't like say it. At least he didn't say what he said last year, which was just wait till I get my guys in.
Yeah.
Well, you got your guys in. Looks like the same. It looks like the same squad. And the thing is, I don't know how much. So last year they had Sean Lewis call in place for like the first 6 weeks. The old Kent State head coach who brought like Kent State into that dynamic like flash offense.
Yeah, like with the Dante Cephas and all them.
Yeah, fired him. Now they have Pat Shurmur, who was a former offensive coordinator in the NFL.
For the Giants.
Well, yeah, but he's really
– coach at the Giants, right?
Yeah, he's was something. But he's really not running, like, his type of offense, I don't think. Like, I don't know how much leeway he has in, like, the type of offense they run. Because if it was up to him, I don't think he's going like, four receivers out on the field with, you know, like, I don't think he's lined up in that personnel.
Just trying to push the ball downfield the whole time with a line that's not very good.
Yeah, unless I could be, like, I don't know, like, how, if he has handcuffs on is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. Who knows? Nobody knows what's going on there. I mean, they're going to have four wins again.
It's going to be a dumb, but, like, once Deion leaves, like, it already is a dumpster fire, but the person that has to come in and, like, fix that program, it's going to be astronomical. They brought in, what, 45 transfers this year? Like,
yeah,
a million last year. And they're all
going to leave.
And then they're all going to leave, and then you're going to have to build – you're not going to have the support from the university because they just put all their resources into the program and got burnt.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, this Colorado program, like, it hasn't taken any steps forward and besides, like, clicks and, like, views and viewership. And
they got a couple good prospects.
And media, like, it just hasn't taken those steps. And I don't know. And at the end of the day, like, you put the blame, like, the blame goes on the head coach. Like,
yeah. I mean, this is like, all signs are pointing at it's the coaching.
Oh, it's clear as day now, because last year you could be like, all right, first year in, a bunch of transfers.
Yeah.
This year, like, Matt Rhule's in his second year.
Yeah, and he's already basically turned it around. I wouldn't say turned it around, but.
Like, they, like, Nebraska wasn't freaking good, you know?
No, not last year, no.
Not last year and not the year before.
No.
And Matt Rhule's been able to do. It's just, like, there's different ways to build a roster. And I don't think getting, like, the glimpse and the glamour.
The transfer portal, you can't just pull from the transfer portal and expect to build an entire roster.
Thank you. That's what I've been saying. That's
like,
what I've been
saying.
If you
look at good teams and even like basketball too, the teams that bring in all the transfers don't do as well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have, you still need to recruit in high school and have those guys for 3 to 4 years.
Yep. It needs to be like, it's not, I'd say it's 85-15, 85%
high school.
Yeah, you can
land a couple good transfers. Like when you lose a few veteran guys, you know, bring in one or two. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tennessee -7.5 against NC State. I mean, I should have seen this from a mile away.
Yeah.
This was probably one of my worst plays ever. It was
you
terrible.
You can't not like the points there in that game just because you really haven't seen.
Well, I've seen NC State now, and I think they're in trouble in the ACC.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, I mean, that pick six, though, did change the entire game.
Yeah, dude, that was brutal.
If NC State scores there, they hang with them the first half, and it's maybe a one-possession game at half.
No, I agree. ACC to me is like wide open.
I think you have Miami now. Like Miami really has to screw this up.
Yeah, I know you have Miami. Then it's everyone else in the ACC right now. But Syracuse been slinging the rock. Kyle McCord looking like a new
happens quarterback. Every year. Stop.
I know. Guess what? I'm gonna ride the train till the wheels fall off.
Nico, so next or 2 weeks once or 3 weeks once they get out of September. Mm-hmm.
Nico Imamalava looked real good. He's a solid quarterback. Good for Tennessee. Rocky Top. Boise State. I mean, dude.
Oregon's just not that good.
Gentry, man. What a pack. What a back he is, man. That was a great game. I fell asleep in the fourth quarter with about 12 minutes left. I don't remember falling asleep. I just remember close my eyes, and next thing you know, I was out. Late game there, but I'm not sold on this Oregon squad at all. It seems like
coming into the year, dude.
Right now, it looks like their offense is big hit or miss, just because they'll hit a big hit or an explosive. But if they have to put together a drive, it seems like they're incapable right now.
And I feel like that's been most of Dylan Gabriel's career.
Yeah. So, Boise State, easy cover on the road at Oregon. Oregon kicking the game-winning field goal. That's all those games from last week. Now let's get into week three action brought to you by...
We didn't even cover Penn State, dude.
Oh. We interrupt you to bring you Penn State, Bowling Green. Bowling Green was thrashing that Penn State defense.
Okay. The first half was real bad. But, I mean, I wouldn't worry about this game at all. Like, the offense still looked fine, which was my big concern, and the defense was normal in the second half. I don't know what the hell was happening in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of ball to be played still, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. I mean, if they come out and do the same thing against Kent State this weekend.
Well, that's next week.
Are they on a bye this week?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if they really do, then.
then I think there's some alarm. Let's get into next week. Friday night, Kansas State -7.5 at home against Arizona. I was kind of watching the Arizona versus Northern Arizona game a little bit on Saturday. Quiet half for McMillan. I think that's his name.
Quiet game.
Did he not do anything in the second half?
No.
What was the final of that game?
He had two catches for 11 yards. 22-10 final.
Dude, I might love Kansas State here at home, minus the 7.5.
Keep thinking about, like, Arizona did not – their defense is atrocious.
I'm just not sold on Avery Bradley and what's his actual name?
Avery Johnson.
I call him Avery. Like, it's just ingrained in my head that his name's Avery Bradley now.
Yeah, but Keaton does that with everybody's name.
Sometimes. Avery Johnson. I mean, they were in a shootout with Tulane. Easily could have lost that game, in my opinion. If it wasn't for a strip sack, fumble recovery to the end zone. Yeah, I like Kansas State here at home, Friday night game in Manhattan.
Yeah, I also like a lot of points to be scored in this game.
Arizona's offense didn't look
against Northern. Yeah, they didn't look good last week, but
Northern Arizona
put up what, 60.
Is it? Can they only score points if McMillan gets the ball?
Basically.
Yeah. But so what if you lock?
They're just gonna turn the ball over the whole time, which is going to be good anyways.
I guess that's valid. Yeah, I'm picking Kansas State here, and I might add Kansas State -7.5 to the card.
Yeah, I might too. Just get a little Friday action and take that in the over.
I love some Friday action. Nothing's better than those Friday night games, in my opinion. Also Friday night, UNLV at Kansas. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but another good Friday night game. Bama -16 at Wisconsin. Saturday big noon kickoff game. Bama was in a dogfight there with USF, but it's like, does USF just have Bama's number?
Yeah, because the same thing happened last year. So, Wisconsin has not looked great the first two games by any stretch of the imagination, but maybe they'll put together a nice fight against Alabama at home.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
The defense doesn't look great either, which is kind of concerning.
Yeah, unless they force Milroe into some bad stuff, I think this game's going to be a landslide.
Yeah, they have to score early. Like, if Alabama comes in and does what they want to do in, like, the first, second quarter, the game's over.
Yeah. I like Bama here, minus the points.
Yeah, I do too.
LSU -7 at South Carolina. I mean, LSU, I'm not sold on this LSU squad at all. They're tough one in Nicholas State last week in the first half. Finished strong in the second half. And I was sold on the first couple drives against USC. Maybe it was Kirk just like really like giving praise to Neisheimer.
I mean, he is really good. I feel like it's the same LSU team as last year,
just with a less dynamic quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean the receivers aren't as great as Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, but I mean Lacey's still damn good. But their defense is still paper.
Yeah, and then South Carolina's solid defensive front. Corners upgraded.
I think Rocket Sanders is going to have a great game.
Rocket Sanders, they're going to have to get Rocket going. I think he's the key to this game. If they get him toting the rock, you know, kind of take the load off Sellers a little bit, because, you know, he's still a redshirt freshman. Just take the load off him a little bit. And I got South Carolina win this game outright.
Outright.
Yep.
I'm definitely taking the points, but I don't know about outright.
See, look, I don't know if I can trust Beamer at home. I mean, he was up damn near two scores against Florida last year in like the fourth and blew that.
New team, man. New team.
So I don't know if Beamer's been, like, really good against Kentucky for some odd reason. So, like, I don't know if this was just, like, one of it, you know, he just, like, beats the brakes off Kentucky and then that's that. But I'm going to ride them. I'm going to ride them. I wanted to ride them last week. I don't know why I didn't. They were getting 10.5 at Kentucky.
Kentucky doesn't score a lot to cover big spreads.
I don't know why I did. Like, and I didn't I say outright? That should have been on the card. I mean, I was just the money line king last week. Knock on wood to carry that over this week, because God, we need it. But I like South Carolina here.
Yeah, I'm taking the points too.
Boston College at Mizzou. A little sneaky game here. We'll see how Boston College – I mean, Boston College played on Saturday against Duquesne. But yeah,
won by 60.
Yeah, so we'll see how – we'll see how
Missouri looks.
Yeah, but I think this is a real telltale sign to see how bad Florida State is.
Yeah.
I don't like doing the football math of you played this team this well and then this team played them this well, so this team – I don't like doing that.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'm totally going to do that.
Yeah, because if Boston College just goes and gets ran, my God, is the ACC bad.
Right. If they like, I mean, Missouri's two straight shutouts. They haven't let up a single touchdown. Like, what if they completely shut BC's run game and then like put up like 42-0 against BC. Like if you're a Florida State fan, you're like, shit.
Yeah. I mean, they got a tough one at noon versus Memphis this week too. So
I think they're 7.5 or 6.5, and I might.
It moved up toward Florida State actually.
Dude, I might. It sounds crazy. I kind of like Florida State minus the points.
Yeah, I would too if I was betting that game, but I'm not betting on that team.
I'm not gonna. But it's like it almost wants to like trap you into it. Like, oh, look at this juicy line.
Yeah, I know. Like Florida State bounce back, but that's maybe they just are that bad
off a bye week. Like it's like,
yeah.
We'll see. Tulane at Oklahoma. Oklahoma in a dogfight with Houston out of all teams. Tulane coming off an emotional loss again at home against Kansas State. So we'll see how they bounce back in this spot. And we'll see how Oklahoma bounces back. I mean, 16-12 against Houston is nothing.
They just got blown out by UNLV.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about. So,
yeah, this game will be interesting. I don't know. I'm expecting like a pretty low scoring game here. Like, just a.
I feel like Tulane's quarterback's gonna have a couple key turnovers. Just watching him against Kansas State. Yeah, I think that's good. I think Oklahoma's gonna win the turnover battle, and then that's how they're gonna win the game.
Yeah.
Let's go into the game of the week. West Virginia traveling to Acushnet Stadium, 3:30 kickoff on ESPN2 to face off with the University of Pittsburgh Panthers. Whew. This is one of the games like you just delete Twitter for like 2 weeks after.
Well, if Pitt loses, yeah, you're going to have to.
I'm going to have to mute every single West Virginia Twitter account. I'm going to have to get off their For You page. I'm going to have to block Huddy Tuddy.
You've been on it for like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, like I know.
3 weeks now.
So this is an interesting spot in my eyes. I feel like it's interesting, and it's not interesting on the football field. It's interesting off the football field. Now, let me tell you why. So, Pitt just fired their AD. They have a brand new chancellor who's like clearing house. And Narduzzi was Heather's hire. Heather, you know, the one that extended Narduzzi after the ACC championship.
Yeah,
but the new chancellor don't care about that. The new chancellor is looking at that 3-9 record last year, and then it's like, in my eyes, it's like Narduzzi's really got something to prove this year. Because if it's like a lackluster season, I think the new chancellor just clears house.
You do? Like, what would you say then? Like 6 wins?
I think 6 wins, they let him go. I could be wrong. I mean, I could be wrong, though.
The last AD was not letting him go.
Yeah, I know. But the last AD also put the school in a shit ton of debt. And didn't believe in NIL. So, I think Narduzzi's got a lot of proof. And it's like, you can't lose this game back-to-back years.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I will say about Narduzzi that's like good. I mean, he usually does fire his team up for rivalry games.
So I just think there's a skill on the defensive side of the ball. This is like, I think, one of his worst defenses.
Yeah, definitely. Even by like watching it, you can just tell.
And the problem is he's gonna die in that defense. Like he's not gonna adjust his scheme just because he doesn't have the skill players to play his scheme.
Yeah, he's not gonna match his personnel.
Yeah. Like he's still gonna leave them on. Like that's just how it is, and that's why Pitt's put so many DBs in the.
But that league. Could work against West Virginia, though.
I mean,
because they don't have like game breakers on the outside.
I mean, it's tough. Like last year, obviously can't judge hurt quarterback. You know, Phil was our quarterback. It was like,
I mean, and they didn't score that much. I mean, Green got hurt, but
yeah, So, like, this was totally, like, but 2 years ago with JT Daniels, I mean, he was lighting that secondary up.
Yeah, I mean, C.J. Donaldson was running right through him, too.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I think it's an interesting game, but I think Narduzzi needs this one. I'm not saying if he loses this game, he's like out. But I'm saying like if it leads to a lackluster season, I think things could get a lot more interesting just with a new AD coming in, a new chancellor coming in. Like Narduzzi's like not a big like transfer portal guy. Yeah. I don't like obviously we're behind in NIL.
Well, what about on the flip side, Neil Brown? I mean, this game means a lot for him too.
I totally forgot about Neil Brown. Because
if he loses this, his season could spiral out of control.
I'll say this for West Virginia fans. So they're trusting the climb right now, right? Hashtag trust the climb. They're climbing the mountain, right? In West Virginia. last year, they're, you know, they're like right here. The peak's right here. They're right here. Oh, their feet are slipping. The mountains, they're collapsing. The rocks are coming down. It's a landslide if he loses this game. You know, like everyone who trusted the climb up to here, they're falling all the way down to the base of the mountain. And it's going to be tough to get them to trust the climb again up.
Yeah, because if West Virginia loses this game, man, they have some really tough. I think they go. I don't know if it's a exact order, but it's like Kansas, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and one of the like. I don't know what the exact order is, but
it's
things could get ugly in Morgantown if they lose this game.
Yeah, Twitter will be on fire for sure. What else, dude? I don't know if my microphone's on actually.
It is on. I hear.
No,
you.
I know, but I think it's coming through my headphones and not the mic.
I don't know.
But keys to victory for Pitt. Don't turn over the ball. Don't go 3-and-out. And get off the field on defense. I think.
I'll be West Virginia. You just gotta trust your run game and just pound the rock, cause that Pitt defense, I mean, they're not very good. Pound the rock. Garrett Green gotta hit some explosives in the air though. Like you can't just rely on the running game the entire game. And then if you just limit Pitt's explosive plays, I think they win this game. Cause I don't think Pitt can really drive the field like that.
Mm-hmm. I think
Pitt's gonna win. We know.
I think Pitt's gonna win, but I think it's an interesting point with the drive the field thing because it's kind of been big hitter after big hitter.
Yeah.
But against Cincinnati, they put together some drives, but they were, like, quick. It's just fast.
Yeah, it's just how the offense is. But, like, if you make them grind it out, I don't think that's not what Pitt wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, obviously, the two key players of the game, Desmond Reed for Pitt and then the White for West Virginia.
Yep. I think it's
two smaller backs going head to head, kind of cool to see. Yep.
I mean, it's two like similar makeups of a team, I'd say, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of fireworks in that game. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch.
I think it's going to be real fun. I also think I'll give a surprise player to watch for the game. It's not really a surprise. I think someone from the woodwork has to come out and have a coming out party. because I just think that's how you win these types of games. Someone else steps up.
Yeah. It's usually not your stars in those type of games.
And for me, that is Kenny Johnson.
I mean, he's been pretty solid all year so far, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm not saying like the fourth man up. I'm just saying like
he's gonna have
because Mumfield's our wide receiver one.
Yeah,
you got Reed, Bartholomew, and then Kenny's, you know.
Yeah, he's that next guy.
All right, if you Poppy Williams. All right, there's my so I don't get dragged for saying Kenny Johnson, who's. Nah, I still think it's Kenny. I still think it's Kenny Johnson. And, hey, that might not be in the receiving game. Don't be surprised if he takes the opening kickoff to the house. I'm just saying. Bookmark it right now. Let's get into gambling. Last week, I went
6-4.
Oh, dude, because the Texas one's on the – I went 6-4. I won the Texas game easy, lost Iowa, lost Kansas, won Boise easy, lost Northwestern. Syracuse was a breeze. Syracuse almost blew that game, though. Georgia Tech got an onside kick, went down, scored, and then they – rookie mistake. They kicked it deep, and Kyle McCord just put the icing on the cake. Should have went with another onside kick. Pitt money line, definitely wasn't sweating that at all. Charlotte plus 22.5, sneaky good pick.
Yeah, I'm so mad I didn't take that.
Sneaky good pick. Not gonna, you know, honk my own horn, but NC State plus 8, really shitty pick. Yeah. Really shitty pick. Nebraska minus 7.5, easy pick. Sam went 3-4.
Yeah. I know my winners. Arkansas over that. That hit relatively easy.
Yep.
Was Nebraska minus 7.
That yep. Was, and then Pitt money line.
Pitt money line, yeah.
And then you lost Michigan plus 7.5, NC State plus 8, Penn State minus 35, and Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa, that's a killer. But the other ones weren't even close. It's my fault. I'll be better this week.
See, look, this week I might add is this is only Tuesday, so I might end up adding stuff. But this is the official card. If I add stuff, I'll make sure that I track it. I'm sitting at 11-7 overall, and this week I have Pitt money line. They're about plus 118 on the money line against West Virginia. I got UNLV money line. They are about, I'll give you the exact, they're plus 202. And then I got South Carolina against LSU, plus 225. Going all out, not all out, going all out right here. Could be great. Could be really shitty. But that's why we play the game.
Is that your entire card?
Yep.
Jeez. Okay. I have the over in Kansas State. I just think Kansas State and Arizona can be really bad on offense or really explosive, and their defense is not good. I think it's 58.5 right now. I like it to go over. I like the over in West Virginia, which is one of my favorite plays of the day. I don't even care. It's like it's 60.
It is 60.5 right now.
Yeah, I don't care. Two defenses that give up big plays. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. Maryland minus 2.5 going to Virginia. I don't think Virginia's that great. Maryland still has some studs on offense. I'm taking Maryland.
I like that.
Indiana minus 3 at UCLA.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot that. Add that to my card. Rico. Yeah. Rico, add that to my card. I like that.
I don't think UCLA's good at all.
Yep. I actually love that. But like I said, there's a weird stat about teams traveling east to west versus west to east. So
we'll
see.
It's only minus 3-2, which I feel like after Indiana put up like 80, I felt like that line was going to go
Yep, and UCLA was in a dogfight with Hawaii 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And Oklahoma State minus 20. They're playing at Tulsa, but Tulsa hasn't really played anybody that good.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of gave up a lot of, on the ground, I think. If Oklahoma State just sticks to running the ball with Ollie Gordon, they're going to put up enough points to cover 20.
Yep.
Then Texas A&M minus 4. I think Texas A&M, no, bounce back week, tune-up game. I think they'll be straight now. And Florida's kind of, it's a dumpster fire down there. So I'm taking A&M. Then Missouri minus 16.5. I've been high on Missouri coming into this year. And it's our first real game. And I don't think Boston College is really that good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take minus 16.5 at home. Then I'm playing a teaser. 6-point teaser. So Bama, I'll get that down to minus 10 from 16. South Carolina, I'll get 13 points instead of 7. Georgia, I'll take that down to, 18? So only have to win by 3 scores. Kansas State, which is basically 1.5, so basically just win the game. And I think they win that game pretty easily versus Arizona.
Yep. All good picks. I feel like we've been having – I mean, last week wasn't your best week, but –
Yeah, still only lost one unit, so it's not too terrible.
Yep. I think I'm sitting.
That's also my fault, dude. I did not love the card last week, but
yeah. I think I'm up 6 units. I'm up 6 units right now.
I'll check. I track mine on Action. Let me check here. Cuz after the first week that teaser was huge. So, last 30. I am up 11 units because I had like 3 or 4 on Georgia the first week.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
But this is also counting the Georgia Tech game from Florida State.
Yeah.
Which was 3 units. 3 units. Yep. So basically 8 with the picks I gave on here.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think, I mean, oh, Notre Dame. We didn't even talk about Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, gotta re-record the whole episode now. Yeah, NIU beat Notre Dame this past weekend. Notre Dame's always due for one of these types of losses, so.
What was it, like, a couple years ago? It was Marshall.
Yep, so. That's just Notre Dame for you.
Yeah.
Offense looks bad.
Defense is still – I mean, the defense is still really good.
Yeah. But, yeah. We'll see you next week on Ball, Sticks, and Fist. It's your favorite show without an outro. Peace. Oh, hold on.
Do you not end it?